Fence climbing, boys.
Hey, what I want to know is, why is there a hog guarding, Mom? Ain't no hogs up there.
Ain't no hogs up there.
What is hog
guarding? Why did somebody put out hog wire for? Okay.
Well,
I don't know why they did that.
Can you explain?
You need to talk to the landowner and say, hey, look, we don't mind barbed wire, but hog wire, you ain't got no hogs up here.
Can we
that crap down.
Can we explain the difference in barbed wire and hog wire for the
barbed wire is for long you
for me and most of our listeners? I'm hoping
barbed wire is 4x4 squares.
4x4 squares.
Four inch by 4 inch square. They also make 2x2. They make 2x2 and 4x4 non-climb is what a lot of people would know it as, but it's called hog wire.
Yeah. So you couldn't get across that.
Oh, I could. Yeah, the deer could too. If he'd have wanted to.
Yeah.
He watched all his buddies come under.
That's right. All the women said, hey.
All 10 of them. They all come down there and got run under my feet. Every one of them.
So the deer was on the other side of the hog wire.
Which was our property. So mind you, I don't want anybody listening to say he was going to shoot across the fence. No, it's all the same.
It's all the same range.
Yeah. Oh, so why didn't
we ain't crossing fences here, boys?
Because you can't take a 40-yard shot through a 4x4 square hole.
You're not that good.
In case you didn't know, Goblin wasn't in Tokyo for archery.
So he was right beside the fence.
I could have put it there, but, you know. How's the trajectory?
And he never gave him a good broadside.
Well, hey, he's been a good hunter and not taking a bad shot.
Exactly.
Well, I hit the wire, then it gets shot him. He runs off. We never find him.
Yeah, and can never find him.
That kind of deal. Yeah.
I had enough issues with no wire. So.
Yeah, why'd they put you next to
that's right. Martin missed a big one, because he got what you call buck fever. Okay, he's looking at that big antler, and hey, he already had him in mounted and on the wall.
Then
he done a little peeky boo, and peeky boo makes the arrow go peeky over the back.
No, this one went under. I'm a low miss.
You a low miss?
I don't miss high.
I've hunted for with the bow all 4 or 5 years, and I always do something stupid, and I've never killed one. Okay, with stick and string.
So you missed one.
I missed one, and then I killed one.
Oh, then he killed one. Then he got serious.
I got him.
There's
he got
him.
Serious.
His buddy, I got him. His buddy's come across the fence.
Yep, his buddy. Hey.
So or through the gate.
Guyvin had a bunch of non-fence crossers.
Them suckers was non-compliant.
That's right. Non-compliant, boys. You got to have a little cooperation here with the game.
Suckers. I've been doing that all week. Look, the first morning, I got in this tree about 80 foot up, felt like. It was tree climbing steps, then limbs. Then tree climbing steps, then limbs. And I monkeyed my way up there and got in that stand, and the deer crossed way over. I didn't have a pen for 400 yards, so.
80 foot up.
Well, that's what it felt like.
You could just do one of them Kentucky winders, Dale, just.
I was wondering if
one of the guys told him on the group text, said, just start shooting. I bet you'll get at least 3 shots at him.
Before he signed, what's raining down over here?
Yeah. Put my peep on top of my stabilizer and let her rip.
Oh, forget the peep.
Godwin said, which part of my bow do I use for a 434-yard shot? Right. Asking for a friend. Yeah. That's what he put in the group text, and I got plum tickled. So.
You just aim up at the clouds, Robin Hood style.
Yeah.
I got plum tickled when I spread that. Golly.
But that was my week.
That's why I hunt with a rifle, Stick and string, you got to have patience,
Yeah, it's fun, though. But, I mean, I get it. But that's why we like duck hunting like we do, too, because we like to get critters close to
us. Well, yeah, so, that's the thing. We like to get critters too close in duck hunting.
A rifle is nothing more than a shooting contest.
Yeah.
When he gets in there at 20 yards, you're like, oh, boy.
Yeah, then it's the talking about, all right, is who has the steadiest nerves?
Me or him?
Me or him. Am I going to get him, or is he going to shake me up so bad because Martin said he was sitting there and had his bow in his hand? And the arrow's on the string, and
True story.
He was watching the arrow do this.
True story.
So he stuck his finger over the arrow, and then his whole
arm. And then my arm got to shake. The bow got
shaking. You fix to drop this arrow, is what you've been doing. You're going to scare the one that's down there now.
So then I laid it across my lap.
Okay, now I said, hey, let me lay this baby down right now.
I tell you what, though. Look, here's what I tell you about bow hunting deer. If I ever lose that feeling, I'm out.
Yep, time to quit.
Well, no,
I'm done.
Most people don't realize, okay, it's not about the shot. It's really not.
It's the whole chess match.
Yeah. If shooting was all there was to deer hunting, I would sell every gun I got and never go again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I've had more fun and didn't kill doodly squat, okay, watching the deer do what they do when they're out in their element.
I know. Playing, kicking, farting.
Oh. Kill, oh, no, don't get me wrong. I like to pull the trigger on one, but I'm just saying, I like to watch them. Yeah. Okay.
As Miss Paula says, there was Jumanji drums in my ears. I had a bow in hand twice.
Heartbeats are loud when you're really excited, don't they? Watching something because everything's quiet around you in the woods.
You can hear it
when something walks up and really gets you involved in this little exercise.
Amen. To our listeners, if you're ever looking for a place to go deer hunting and you want to see a lot of deer, go to Wyoming. 7J Outfitters in Wyoming. You will see more deer than you've seen probably in your life on a hunt.
That's a lot of deer.
It's a bunch of them. And those guys are good because most of them walk by at 20 yards.
Well, that's why it's fun.
Yeah.
Okay. That's why if you're training your kids, trying to get them interested in hunting, take them where they're going to see a lot of critters.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Learn about deer.
Making it interested for them to go. Nobody likes to sit there and never see nothing.
And you ain't got time to say nothing.
Yeah.
Do an interview or good morning. You can't move.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Si, you got tickled on this one. So we got dropped off, walked into our stand. Cameraman goes up first. I'm still down on the ground. It's like 2:30 in the afternoon. By the way, it doesn't get dark till 8 o'clock. Not that my rear end still hurts from those seats.
Yeah,
but
late.
Tree stand companies do better. You've got to make one that's comfortable because I ain't found him yet. But anyway, so I'm standing there on the ground. I hear something behind me. I'm up next to this pine tree, and I hear something. I'm like, oh boy. Yeah, I got a big problem with them big cats, you know. So I just hear something behind me just break a limb. I'm like, wow. Not good. Not good.
Yeah. We don't know what's behind me yet.
I gave it this number, and there was a spike, old spike buck, you know, a year and a half old buck here. And he's just walking right at me. And I'm like, oh, man, how close is this sucker going to get?
Yeah, how close is he going
to
come up?
He got close enough to wear some Copenhagen spit. That's how close he got.
Okay.
And, buddy, when I did that, he about jumped out of his skin.
You pulled old Josie Wells.
I did, just like the dog. I couldn't help myself.
I did that in North Carolina. I'm looking, and a doe runs across, and I ain't got but three shells. That's all I had.
Yeah.
You know, I shoot three times, her miss her. Okay. So she had come out of the woods down there in a little hole. So I walked down, and I wanted to see where she was at, where she came from. And I stuck my head in this hole in the woods. And if I had been quick enough, there was an 8-point buck standing in that hole. I could have slapped him. Okay, look. So, look, he jumps out in the middle of the field that I'm standing in. And I said, I bet you I'll make him run. I threw that shotgun up. He knows I'm out of shells. Because he sits there wiggling his tail at me as he walks off. And
he
doesn't count
it.
I said, you have got to be kidding me.
He said, nah, he's empty.
He's
empty.
He's like in blue-winged teal during teal season that can count.
Yeah.
They just hit the water with the rest of their buddies, and then when you're out of bullets, they get up and fly off.
Oh, no, it took him like 5 minutes to walk away, and the whole time he's laughing at me, let me look at his butt wiggling. Okay.
So watch me. Watch
yeah.
me.
And I told my buddy, I said, I wish you'd have been here 5 minutes ago. You could have killed this stud 8-point just playing with me because he knows I'm out of ammo. I said, that's the dumbest stunt I ever pulled. Take three bullets in the stupid woods.
I just kind of wish Deer had podcasts because I'd like to hear his version of
it. Oh, no. He told me, yeah, I showed
hey, Sam,
that's
remember
happened
me
about three or four times.
You've shot at okay a doe three or four times and then found a buck in a hole
in the
woods?
Oh, no, no. And just, hey, I walked down to the stupid boathouse down on Phil's property, and I got a 30-30 sitting in. Deer season's open. It's beside me. Well, as soon as I got out, I looked at it, and I said, I should take that with me. And I said, oh, it ain't going to take me but like 2 minutes to get this, what I need. So I walked and get in the boat, and as soon as I look up on the back side of where we backed the boat out on the other side of the creek,
mm-hmm,
okay, there's a big deer standing there, and he's got a big, massive rack on his head.
Boathouse buck.
And I'm going,
the elusive.
You have got to be kidding me.
For those of you that don't know, that can't be more than 12 yards.
Yeah. Oh, no. It
from
ain't
from the front
no
of the boathouse yeah to where we back at.
Oh, it wasn't even that.
That's what
he's
I'm saying.
He's standing on the edge of it, okay?
That's tight.
And looking at me, and I'm looking at him, and I'm saying, you have got to be kidding me. Well, he does the same thing. He goes, ha, ha, turns around. He's wiggling his tail, and it takes him 5 minutes to walk away, and I'm just standing like an idiot talking about, why didn't you bring that 30-30? You could have killed him.
By the way,
idiot.
When y'all were gone, Willie set in for Martin or Godwin, whoever it was. And he said that Cy lives in a cartoon whenever he's out in the woods where the deer all cough. And apparently now they all laugh at him.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, they do. Yeah.
And
they
count.
Do. Well, and if, count. He'd, if he'd go to Wyoming, he'd hear them fart.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. Hey, I had a bunch of them that when I lived in Alabama.
Here we go.
Pear tree. Okay. And look, they would wait till they fell off, all of them on the ground, and they turned brown. And when you walk by it, you would figure somebody is cooking shine because all you can smell is alcohol.
Fermented
well,
sugar.
Hey, I would watch a doe and two yearlings come out, and look, they would literally gorge themselves, okay, till they would blew up from the alcohol, okay, and every time they move, it was...
Okay. There you go.
And me and my wife and kids are on the floor just it's hee-haw all over all night long till the deer leave. And when they're leaving, it the whole time.
I would doubt that if I hadn't seen it myself in Wyoming. So,
yeah.
I mean, them right deer eat all that alfalfa, come up there with their bellies, bro, and when they're walking by, they just steady farting. It's hilarious.
No. I laughed so I actually hurt. Yeah. I had to get up and go put cotton in my ear where I can't hear it no more.
Yeah. Well, if you'd have just put them tetras in there, you'd have never heard anything.
I'm just saying, hey, I had to put something in it.
All right. Look, it's the best time of year. Hunting season is back, and we got lots of stories. We'll be back right after this.
What is the longest shot? Was it a longbow or compound? Longbow, probably.
Don't look at the picture.
Longbow.
I'm looking at the picture.
It's probably a longbow.
He said compound.
930
feet. 930
feet?
And
about
he hit the target?
310 yards.
Uh-huh. He hit the bullseye.
Hit the bullseye.
He use his stabilizer as a...
He wouldn't have got yours. He'd have been about 100 yards short.
Yeah. He'd been 100 yards short.
There's another...
310.
There's one very impressive part of that.
What is that?
He's blind?
No. Nope.
Oh.
He's not blind. He doesn't have any arms, though.
I got you.
930 feet is the world archery record by Matt Stutzman. He did it in McKinney, Texas in 2015, and he was born without arms. So
and he did it with his feet.
He holds the bow with his feet and then pulls it, I guess pushes it forward and holds it with his shoulder and his chin and lets it go. And he is the world record holder.
That's impressive.
For longest archer.
Yeah.
And here I am missing one at 15
yards. Yeah, I didn't want to bring that
and
up.
He bullseyed 310.
Yeah.
That's fantastic, dude.
That's good for him.
But that's what I was looking at.
That's fantastic.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
It's cool to see those people that have those disabilities. Like, what's his name? Clay Dyer?
Fisherman? The fisherman, yeah.
He ain't got nothing. Like. No arm.
Well, that's not a disability.
No. I mean, it's just incredible, though, that they're born with these. I mean, I look at how much trouble I have doing stuff, and I got everything.
I know.
And I'm like, how in the world?
Determination.
Yeah.
I'm going to do this.
Mind over matter.
redneck ingenuity, boys. Don't ever bet against it.
I'm gone.
Don't ever bet against it.
I mean, look, Si's legally blind. He's still shooting ducks.
And driving.
And killing them.
Allegedly.
Even when they put blanks in my gun, I still kill them. Hey, pull that off, buddy.
Oh, you've killed a duck with blanks in your gun?
Yeah, that's what they done.
Scared him to death.
They put three blanks in there, and I raised up, boom, 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 three times, three ducks fell. And they said, hey,
no matter, there's four or five people.
You didn't kill nothing. I said, well, hey, I'm the only one that shot three times, and they all fell. So, you know, did someone shoot with me? Because I didn't hear but three shots.
Is that a true story?
I cannot confirm or deny this story.
So. Mean.
Who put the blanks in a gun?
Sounds like a Jay Stone.
The Robertsons. The Robertsons. Yeah, I think it was Jason is the one that said he did it.
Sounds like
And Jay. I said, well, hey, it didn't do you no good, son. I'm still killing them.
Weeded you out anyway.
That's right. I weeded you out anyway. You're out.
Killing ducks with blanks in his gun. Well, what else happened in Wyoming?
Oh, I think, Godwin, why don't you tell the people about the dessert steak you had at Wyoming?
The dessert?
Oh, yeah.
Since we've been known to get on food.
Oh, well, wait a minute. I'm interested in this. Uh-oh. A dessert steak?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'm all ears.
So we're at this place. It's great steak, by the way.
Okay, I guess so.
Except for this one.
Oh, hey, boy. Oh, it's the other way.
Well, I ate it, but I would.
It's not not how Mama made it.
Shock of all shocks.
I will not order it again. It was they called it, I forget what they called it. Anyway, it was cooked with brown sugar. So I'm thinking, well, they just seasoned it lightly because it said sweet and spicy. So I said, I'll try it. I never heard of it. So I ordered it, but it's caked on there like sugar toast, like a crust on top.
Oh, this is like, what is it, cinnamon and sugar toast?
Okay. On top of a steak.
Okay, on top of a steak.
It's not my bag cup of tea.
Yeah, no, I don't think I would go for that either.
Huh? Mm-mm.
But
why run a good piece of meat by spreading sugar all over it?
Well, I never thought it'd be like sugar toast. I just figured
they kind of lied to you, really.
They did. They.
He's laughing. Somebody was put up to this.
No.
I was going to the airport.
Yeah,
I was going to pick people up from the airport.
Wait a minute. This was at a restaurant or at the rank?
At the restaurant.
No, restaurant.
Yeah, okay. I was in Rapid City picking up people from the airport.
This is still one of them, okay, we're going to get Godwin.
Godwin got himself on this one.
Brown sugar steak.
A brown sugar steak.
Why think of it as a honey glazed steak almost, is the way Godwin and Hunter both described it, because they got the same thing.
Yeah, I said.
Why ruin a good steak?
I said, I figured it'd be, you know, just a kind of a sweet taste.
Yeah.
No.
Well, they said spicy. Yeah, they said spicy. They lied.
Ain't no spicy, but I should have known that going north.
Yeah, they lied to you.
I should have known that going north.
They need to have one of these yardsticks right here.
Well,
taken to them for running a good piece of steak like that.
Well, I guess some people
beat the sense into them with it.
It's all over the internet.
Well, looking at the reason I'm laughing so hard is because I still remember the look of disappointment on Godwin's face.
Oh, I imagine so.
When we got back to the lodge,
I broke my rule. I didn't get a steak with a handle on it.
Here's a recipe for garlic balsamic brown sugar steak.
Now, if vinegar's on it,
that's a gar.
No, there ain't no gar.
That's a hard gar.
Oh, no.
Because people are putting, like, coffee as their
but
steak
I would
rolls
rather
now.
Have it instead of on That's the fine. Steak. I would rather have it on my salad.
I have a firm belief that steak doesn't need sweet.
No.
Beef does not need sweet.
Yeah. You don't want it sweet.
Pork can handle sweet.
You can put a little sweet.
Chicken can handle a little sweet. But beef, to me, doesn't hold up well.
Well, when you say the word,
I'll confirm that. Yeah, I'll confirm that.
When you say the word spicy, okay, it's got to be like some kind of barbecue sauce.
Well, let me tell you what spicy means in the state of Wyoming. Yeah. They actually found the black pepper shaker.
They found it, boys. Yeah.
It was over there.
That didn't mean they used it. They just looked at it while they were cooking with it. They ain't much on black pepper.
They ain't much on spice.
Oh, they don't use. Okay.
They use a little salt.
A little salt, but no black pepper.
No black pepper.
Well, hey, my uncle's like that. Yeah. Okay. Because he said, hey, you eat it and it goes in, it comes out the same way black pepper does. There's no, It ain't no breaking this down.
I ain't ever looked that close.
Well, no. I'm just saying. That's what my uncle told me.
Well, right. There you go.
He don't eat pepper.
Boy, yeah. We had some good vittles when we got there. Oh.
Better than the brown sugar steak.
Yeah, better. Oh. Hey, don't run good steak.
We had
put sugar on it.
We had the best deer steak. I don't care what anybody says. Them deer,
they eat
south
better?
And northeast Wyoming.
They eat better?
Best eating deer in the country.
They good. No mustiness, no wild taste.
You ain't got to do nothing to them. Cut it off the bone and put it in some grease.
Really?
Yep.
No, you don't have to tenderize it. You ain't got to do nothing. Just get to roll.
That's wild.
It is.
It's wild game.
Well, no. I'm just saying that's just. You know,
I guess it's their diet. I guess because all they eat is hay, essentially alfalfa and acorns, and that's it. That's all they got to eat up there. And it is fantastic.
Well, the fattest deer I've ever cleaned would have to be in Alabama. On my little place I bought in Alabama.
See, these deer ain't got just a whole lot of fat on them.
I'm talking about that thick. Okay, when you pull the hide off of them, then you got to go, you know, unreal.
When you're skinning these deer up there, you have to be careful that the meat don't pull off with the hide. That's how tender it is.
They're tender.
Well, hey, before we get to just gnawing our arm off, let's take another break. We'll be back right at
you. I'm starving.
But it ain't nothing worse than the food business, okay? Than to get your mouth ready for whatever you ordered that you know is good, and then it ain't what you ordered.
Yeah.
Because your taste buds are ready for, like, I've done it with a BLT.
You just wasn't expecting that.
Yeah,
I knew that one was coming.
He's back on that BLT.
I did it with a BLT. My mouth was ready for bacon, and then when I bit into it, it was some unknown substance that I bit into, and I just... spit it out.
Wasn't that about an egg?
And it was, but it was what my mouth was not ready for an egg. Okay, man. It was ready for bacon.
I can go ahead and tell you, my mouth is always ready for an egg.
Well, no, normally I would, but it was just
he wasn't ready for it.
Mark. I wasn't ready for it.
You don't like the sneak attack?
No, I don't like the old biting into something I don't know what it is. Okay,
I'm kind of the same way.
Yeah,
I can't stand somebody. You know, you get them places got sandwiches or something where you. Eating as a group, and you grab one of them, take a bite.
Oh, no, I don't eat those.
Got a big old plug of mayonnaise already on it. You're like,
or an avocado.
Ain't nothing wrong with
avocado ain't bad, but mayonnaise?
No. An avocado is bad.
No, it ain't.
It's the mud of the earth.
Mud of the earth. Hey, well,
but in vegetable form.
It's pretty good mud.
Is it a vegetable?
It's pretty good
That'd
mud.
That'd be a fruit.
Be a fruit.
Its seed that is inside.
Not a fruit. Yeah.
Seed is inside.
Fruit is way better than avocados. If that's a fruit, it's the worst of all fruits.
No. Is a tomato a fruit or a vegetable?
Yes, vegetable. It is.
It is.
And it's better than inside. Avocados. Where are tomato. We going with it's this?
I don't know. You were the one that had
tomato,
the philosophical.
Tomato, tomato.
Yeah. I just got mad thinking about avocados in a sandwich that you don't see coming.
Oh, I don't mind avocados because to me they don't taste like nothing.
What about avocado mayo?
It's just trying to make both of them a little better, but in turn it makes them both worse. So I don't know.
That's his opinion.
About like that Gowan makes that horseradish stuff to dip the deer steak in.
Yeah. That's good.
Well, our buddy who was on the podcast, Waddell, was there, and he makes a wasabi dipping sauce for deer steak.
He kicked it up.
It's a little heat.
And wasabi, whatever wasabi is, him and a horseradish are very close cousins.
Yeah.
Because to me, they taste about the same, and I don't like either one of them. But when somebody makes something right there in front of him, saying, "Here, try this."
Yeah, try this.
Well, you got to. And he said, "What do you think?" I said, "I think it tastes like wasabi."
It's not wasabi.
I mean, I couldn't get past that taste. I was like, I said, I try this stuff every so often.
I don't know that I've ever eaten wasabi.
Wasabi.
You ain't eat no sushi?
I don't eat.
You don't eat the green stuff?
Oh, yeah.
I think I don't eat green things.
I eat mine and whoever's sitting next to me.
Yeah, I always, the first thing I do is take mine and scoop it over to Gowan.
That's right.
I'll eat that ginger, that pickled ginger to cleanse your palate. I'll eat him.
But it tastes like horseradish?
Wasabi does.
I like horseradish.
Wasabi and horseradish are almost identical.
Pretty close.
You just don't have to have as much of it at one time.
Yeah, it's a little more concentrate.
Tart, potent.
A little tart. It's a little concentrated.
Yeah, a little tart.
I'm going to try wasabi.
There you go. No, it tastes
even
just
though
like
it's
horseradish.
Green.
They got that
it's the
wasabi
color.
Sauce.
Kimo sabi.
That's what you need to get.
Kimo sabi.
Kimo sabi. We really are up in Wyoming.
Well, hey, yeah. Kimo sabi.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Hey, long range.
Well, what y'all do while we was away? What y'all had Kay, had
we
Willie.
We had Kay. Kay's episode, no offense to you guys, it might have been my favorite one we've ever done.
Oh, well, fix that. There was five good segments.
Well, good.
Five good. I don't even remember.
She was on the roll because I started her off when I said, how did you like growing up, Miss Kay, with a millstone hanging around your neck everywhere you went?
He remembers.
Speaking about me, truly, and it tickled Stone because Stone said, wait a minute, I got to look up, what is a millstone? I said, it's a big, heavy weight.
Yeah.
And then we got the greatest story of all time.
Yep.
And if you haven't listened to it, I would retell it. I don't think it's possible.
But yeah, it's not. Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to watch it. You got to watch the real thing.
Go back to last week and listen to Miss Kay tell the story of the wedding that they had in their front yard. It is complete with Dr. Peppers.
And I was mad because I did not get invited.
Casual dress.
Yeah, casual dress.
Pit bulls and yippie dogs and also chips. All the things.
And most happy sauce.
All the things.
Yeah, all the good things.
We're in that store.
I'm just guessing by the menu, Gavin, that bunch of area never tried no wasabi.
No, they didn't have no wasabi.
No, there was no wasabi at this
wasabi, boys.
Interesting.
And then Willie came by and made fun of us and told us all he wasn't mean. And what else did he do? Yeah, then he left. We did ask Willie how to get a raise.
What did he say?
I work somewhere.
Yeah, because I told them they asked me. They asked me, and I said, you're the wrong person. I don't ever ask for a raise. I go in there and tell the boss, hey, if you can give me a raise, or I'm going to walk. And Willie said, I'll pack your bags for you. I said, ha ha, yeah. Okay.
But you still here?
I'm still here.
He's still here. Can't get rid of him.
So that means he got a raise.
That's right. Hey.
It was very quiet around the office, though. It was not a lot happening.
Oh, I bet. And now we're rolling into. Well, it's dove season now. Teal season is Saturday.
And the teal are actually here for right now.
Yeah, there's a long time between now and Saturday.
Yeah, because that's one of them. Feast or Phantom, boys. And usually it's Phantom.
That means they're gone.
They're gone.
I mean, it's normally most people say famine.
Yeah, I was like, whatever.
But a phantom is about the same.
It made sense.
It's like a ghost.
He's a ghost, boy.
And then while y'all were gone too, sized workouts have gotten better.
Oh, you're up 11 pounds?
No, I'm up to 8 pounds.
Well, when I called him this morning, he couldn't breathe. So,
oh, that was you that called. I didn't even recognize your voice.
Hey,
well,
Si,
I didn't recognize yours either because
well,
it was.
No, no. Well, hey, you caught me in the middle of. I had just finished thirty repetitions of six exercises for crying out loud.
For crying out loud.
And the phone rings and I had to stop workout and someone hello and he said, hey, you out of breath? I said, he said, you must be working out. And I said, well, I was.
And I said, be here at one.
I'll be here at one.
But while y'all were gone, he went from the threes to the fives. Well, it was time to.
So it was redneck ingenuity. Okay. Instead of going and buying 8 pound weights, okay, I just got some tape. Okay.
You didn't.
Yes, I did.
No.
No.
I got.
Look, they got like a handle between them.
No. Look, hey, I got 5 pound blue and red, 3 pound red, and I taped them together. So it's, you know.
No, you didn't. Out.
Yes, I did. You know, my wife walks by laughing all the time when she sees me doing it.
Will you bring those tomorrow? I think we film tomorrow because of the holiday.
Yeah.
Will you please bring those tomorrow?
I'll bring.
I want to see the 8 pounds.
You're talking about rough, too.
Rough.
Okay, because the first time I checked it, when I taped the first one, I checked it and told me, so I said, ooh. You know, I said, I'm going to have to go from 30 to 20. I'm going to have to drop down 10 first. So I had to drop down 10 first, and then I said, this ain't doing it. You're going to have to suck it up and just bear through it, son. Go with 8 pounds in each hand.
I'm scared the tape's going to fall apart. While
oh, no. No, it's double tape.
They got that 100 mile.
Oh, no.
Tape
above
on.
Your head.
No. I double tape it.
Do you hold the 5 or the 3?
I hold the 5.
Okay, so only the 3 pound.
Yeah, only the 3's up there. But I double taped it because it did fall apart on me one time. Okay, and hey, it barely missed my foot.
Y'all see my toenail.
Oh, no. Look, it barely missed my foot. And it was like, bam. I said, ooh, that could have been bad if that 3-pound weight had hit my foot on top.
That toenail would have turned black and fell off.
Oh, no, no. Hey, it'd been worse than that. I'd been rocking, humbling around there for a month.
Screaming
hot. So I said, okay, look, the stupid electrical tape come unglued on me. So I said, well, hey, I got a news for you. I taped it back up, got me some more tape, and run it around about twice.
I want to shoot a fitness video with Si now.
Look.
But get him in like the bright colored tights like they used to have on those infomercials where it's step. And I look, mean, just completely go back to like 89 to 92 and have Si doing workout videos.
What just flashed in my mind, and I want a t-shirt that said Beachbody. That's the commercial, Beachbody. Everybody's into the Beachbody, boys.
Body by
and all
side.
These, hey, and all these are skinny guys and skinny gals.
I think we're...
They never need to work another day in their life, workout, okay?
Si, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
What are you going to do when you graduate to 10s?
Tape a 2 onto those, baby.
No, that will probably be I'll have to buy. The next two will probably... The double deal is getting hard, okay, to do.
Okay, but when he wants to go to 13, because they don't even make 13.
No, because it's bulky, okay? So, hey, when I go to 10, but it's going to be a workout, okay?
But then you can...
Look, you got to think about it. 30 reps.
30?
Yeah, and I do this 4 sets.
Oh,
okay, so that's 720 repetitions.
Here's what I thought
he was counting.
Hold on, what did you just say?
720.
I do 720 repetitions.
Of a 4 sets of 30?
Of 6 exercises.
Oh, of 6 different exercises.
6 180. Different exercises.
Wow.
180.
He does 180 4 times.
We did have a very informative with a head trainer of the Duck Call Room, Jay Stone, here last week. We talked. I'm going tomorrow. The House of Pain. The House of Pain was closed this
You'll
morning.
You'll never last.
But I'm going tomorrow.
That's
morning.
My prediction right now. You'll never last. I tried the House of Pain. It lasted about 3 days.
I might have a QB on the way next week.
You may have a QB on the way.
sponsored
you
by
may,
QB.
You may need to leave the House of Pain and go to the House of Fun.
I fit in way better over there.
Hey, here's the thing. Anytime that you see me working out, okay, I work out in my recliner, okay?
Yeah.
I'm into comfort. I'm not into pain.
Si's going to start in the next movie of Dodgeball because he is average Joe's gym right there. I mean,
that's right.
But, hey,
I'll be a member.
Yeah.
No, because I was actually getting worried about myself, okay? Because, look, I'm working out in a stupid recliner, and I'm looking around, and my T-shirt is wringing wet. My back is stuck to the stupid recliner. You know, and I'm saying, what in the world is going on? Is something wrong with me? You know, I don't sweat like this. You know, what's going on? Well, my math was a little bit off. You know, I had forgot, okay, to multiply it times 6. You know, I had come up with a different number than 180, okay? 6 exercises with 30 reps apiece, okay? That's 180 for every one. And if you do that 4 times, then you multiply 4 times 180, and that's 720.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the reason I was wringing wet. Okay?
But you better make sure your air conditioner is on about 68.
No. Because, well, hey, and not only that, I have a fan sitting right over in front of me blowing air on me.
So okay? I'm the first man to ever build a home gym out of his recliner.
With a glass of tea, right?
Not out of my recliner. Around my recliner. The recliner is the centerpiece of this operation,
I can't wait to see these weights in person.
It's actually working. Hey.
Boom!
Look at that, son.
Welcome to the gun show, baby.
For those listening, there's weapons of mass destruction.
I want them to be about that big. Okay, so when it gets up there, you're hot.
He says
he's
going
to go register them things.
He says he's getting like our arm wrestle.
Before we go to break, how many midlife crises have you been in?
Right. Look, there's always room for another one.
He's like that Harry Potterfield.
Well, let's go to break. We'll be back right
after. We'll be right back.
Did you just say Harry Potterfield?
What's in the news, JD? Is anything in the news worth watching?
No.
Actually,
well, then not. I'll share something.
The news is terrible right now. Whoa. I've been trying to stay out of the news. There's nothing good in the news.
So I will share something that's good.
Okay. Are you going to wear white after Labor Day?
What is wearing white after Labor Day?
It turns out you can do it now.
It's allowed?
But what is the sense in that?
Let me just tell you something.
You can't wear white before Labor Day?
You can't wear white breeches.
After Labor Day?
Yeah, something like that.
What? You can't wear whitey tighties? Kay said?
White breeches. Not white breeches.
Oh, not whitey tighties.
Okay. While y'all were all gone too, we discovered we had all, in fact, seen Si in his whitey tighties.
That's right, whitey tighties.
Have y'all?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, just making sure.
Kay said I had all kinds of room. Look, okay, so.
Especially
in the backside.
I always had to stay in the same room as Si when we would travel going hunting because nobody else sleep with him. Because he snores.
They used to make me, Phil made me one night go out in the living room of the lodge.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm serious. He said, I want to get some sleep tonight. You got to sleep in the recliner in the front room of the lodge.
Well, look, when you share a room with him, he pees so much at night.
And I'm up and down. I'm up and down all night.
You're going to wake up and see.
Look.
Because I know.
You can slow that
down.
I'm not hating. I drink 2 gallons of this a day.
I'm not hating. I knew what I signed up for when
I
got in the room
with you. I'm like a race car, boys. After 50 laps, I got to pull in for a pit stop.
But the problem is, here's what he don't tell you. Is he leaves that glass of tea with ice in it by his bed. So he'll get up and go take a leak. And then when he don't come lay back down. He sits on the side of the bed.
And got a drink.
Drinks half the glass of tea.
After he refills it, goes
back to sleep.
After he gets through rattling that ice.
Yeah.
I got that from my father, okay? Because, look, it used to make my mother so mad. Daddy was sitting there, and he just drank the last sip, and all he did was rattle an ice, and she'd jump up and run pour tea in it. She said, I ain't doing this no more. And so he'd rattle a glass, she'd get up, go fill it up.
You know, that's the part he don't tell you. He refills after every empty.
That's right, boys. Hey.
Yeah. In the middle of the night. Like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock.
It don't make it.
You know what he said after she filled it up?
Got him.
Yeah.
Well, what did you have to tell us, Si, besides that you have plenty of room in your tidy whities?
I was going
to
be like Paul the Apostle.
Okay.
And I'm going to share something of first importance.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and this is only, okay, this since I'm the elderly gentleman in this outfit, this comes from old age. I got to thinking today. This world we live in is so messed up. Okay. It really is. You never hear the words grateful. You never hear the words appreciative or thank you. Okay. And that's why Paul used to say it like this. I'm going to share something of first importance, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, but back to the words. Thankful, appreciative, you know, we're the human race is too selfish. Okay, and that includes Silas Robertson, okay, because we want what's good for me and what's good for you, okay. But we need to think about the others, you know. And like I said before, as far as it goes for you, just wake up this morning when you got out of bed, you should say to yourself, I'm going to be good to everyone I come in contact with, and I'm going to do, within my power, I'm going to do everything I can to just do what's right for everyone, me, you, and everybody else. And I'll stop talking. What do we got?
You ain't got to stop.
We can go down the preaching route of being thankful and not being
selfish. You can spit that
selfish.
Truth, son.
Is that the word you use?
You know, that's what I've been thinking about today because I just said, well, okay. You know, and here's another thing about the important thing, okay? We really, can't think of what I wanted to actually say. You know, things, do you appreciate things? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's so many things that you can start, you know, because there's people that don't have them. Think about a person that was born blind.
Mm-hmm.
He's never had sight. Same thing about somebody that's born deaf. He's never heard a sound, for crying out loud.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because the blind person, he's never seen a sunrise or a sunset.
Hey, I tell you right now, from personal experience, one thing you take for granted is your ability to smell and or taste.
Well, no, no.
Because when those two left the chat, things got weird for me. Yeah. I'm
yeah,
because
it didn't make any difference what you bit into.
It was just mush.
Yeah, it was nothing there.
You couldn't even, you don't realize how much you appreciate the taste of a potato chip, for crying out loud, or a piece of watermelon. I mean, that was one thing I ate a lot of during it. But, I mean, it is weird. For people that have never had it, I don't know if it's as strange as for people who lose it. Like, if you have a bad accident, something blows up in your eyes, and well, then all of a sudden, now you're blind.
Yeah.
When you lose something that you've had your whole life and you take it for granted, that is a completely different kind of thankfulness. Well, then, like, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, thankfully, during this whole thing, mine come back. Like, you know, and now when I eat something, I be honest with you, I savor it a little more now because I'm like, boy, if that leaves again, good night of living. But it is it's hard to not – I mean, this roof, for example, there's a lot of people that don't have that. I mean, we got cold air blowing on the back of our neck right here. We got, you know, I mean, there's just a...
Well, I just looked. I remember in times in my life that I was down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and didn't really think I had anything to be thankful for, okay, which is far from the truth.
Yep.
Okay, so, you know, and that's like the song, Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One. Okay, we get so wrapped up in the world and what the world is doing to us that we lose. The only thing I think about is like children. Kids have a wonder. They're amazed at just how beautiful life is. Okay? And a lady sang a song about it one time that I hope you never lose that wonder. Okay, and that's the way I am. I hope I never lose the wonder of life, of how wonderful it really is. Even when things are going badly, like this country just went through a hurricane, especially New Orleans down south, okay, that everything the world has to throw at you, you know, don't forget to stop, clear your head, and say, yeah, but there's so many blessings that I enjoy every day.
Yeah.
Amen to that.
You know, because God says this way, I'm giving you new mercies every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know of anyone, me especially, I need new mercies every day.
Oh, boy, don't
we got to.
Okay. Amen. You know, so I got on that kick today.
I like what you said about the kids. Because in Jesus,
well, they're innocent.
Jesus himself said to be like them, and it reminds. I've had a couple opportunities to go on mission trips. I've been to Haiti, and you want to talk about God? Nothing. And there's the kids there, mm-hmm. run up, hug you, jump in your lap. Happy,
ain't ever met you before.
Happiest kid, full of literal joy.
And had got nothing.
And it's the definition of the word joy. Is what it's not about what they have. It's not about even being happy. They're just joyful to be alive because they're kids. They're like, hey, I got what I got, and this is great. I'm just happy to wake up this morning and go have fun with no shoes playing soccer. And so, yeah, I think, especially as Americans, we lose sight of, you know.
Just how really blessed we are.
How good we got it. Because, you know, last year I thought I was going to die because the power went out for 5 days twice.
Yeah.
You know, these kids ain't never seen power.
But you still had that roof.
Still had a roof. Still had a generator running to my refrigerator. And
the mosquitoes wasn't all in there. Yeah. So that's the part that gets incredible to me. But like you were saying, like one of my favorite things about going to Wyoming every year is that wonder, because I'm born and raised here. Mm-hmm. Like they got things up there you don't ever see down here.
Yeah, like hills or mountains.
Hills, mountains, different trees, just.
We got Mount Driscoll.
But when you sit right there, like where we hunt is really close to Devil's Tower. And in the afternoons from where you sit and hunt, That's to the west. So you watch that sun go down behind Devil's Tower and light that thing up. It's incredible. I mean, I wish they'd have named it something different, Devil's Tower, but,
like,
you know.
Angel's Tower.
Yeah, Jesus' Stump. I mean, there's a lot of things they could have named it.
Could have been better.
Yeah.
That's his footstool.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's like, it is. That wonder, you just sit there and you realize, man, I'm a really small cog in this wheel. Yeah. Like,
well,
you know.
I'm trying to, the thing I wanted to do is that people that are having a rough time, it's temporary.
It's all temporary.
Okay, it's all temporary.
It don't it don't feel that way when you're going through it. I can attest to that.
Nope.
Yeah. It does not feel temporary when you're going through it. And I know, you see where people can get lost in it. Like that, with forgetting that it is, in fact, temporary.
Well, JD said the best thing about it, okay, is you know, I'm trying to give you some joy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because I just, you know, I've been down there where I didn't think I had any reason to be joyful. But when the truth be known, I had all kinds of reason to be extremely joyful.
Amen.
Yeah, so that's all I was doing. Hey, you know, even when you're at your lowest, okay, clear your head and look around you, because my mother told me this when I was very young, okay, if you think you've reached the end of your rope and can't go any further, clear your head and look around you, and you'll always find someone else that you need to hit your knees and thank God Almighty for how blessed you really are, because someone is always way worse off than you are.
Amen. Well, let's take our last break, and then we'll come back and answer a few emails. We'll be back right after
back
this.
In the email book, boys.
We're back.
Back in them.
All right, we're back. Look, thank y'all for everybody that reaches out to us via the hello@duckcallroom.com inbox. Johnny D., what is in there?
All right, I got one good, not what my mama made it. Ooh, that came out wrong.
One
not,
good one, he said.
Not how. Ow. I've got a couple good ones, but I got to share this one. Corey in Brownsburg, Indiana, they were making sandwiches.
Sandwiches.
And tuna salad, which ain't my thing.
Okay.
But he looked at his wife and said, well, where's the relish? And she said, I don't put relish in tuna salad. And then he said, well, that's not how my mom makes it. Mm. That's the story. Not a great story, but an okay story. Until I tell you, it was the night they got back from their honeymoon that he said it. Come on, Corey.
Where are you at, son?
So how long did he wear relish after that?
He's been married for 42 years, and he hasn't had relish since. That's not true. I made all that up.
He made that up.
But he did get to eat a sandwich by himself that night.
I bet. And a peace and quiet.
Just like I'd intended.
With no interruptions.
Kelly from La Porte, Colorado, she tried to make something, some type of chicken and artichoke casserole, which I'm kind of calling timeout right there. But her husband was trying to eat it. And then they were like, I can't do this anymore. And so they gave it to the dog.
And then the dog said, didn't eat it.
The dog turned his nose up at it.
I was going to say, the dog said, that ain't how mama made it.
That's right. That ain't how mama made it.
He said, no, these are all the wrong ingredients. Anyway, all right. Questions. Ethan from the Redneck Hills of West Virginia.
Yeehaw.
West Virginia, baby.
West, by God, Virginia.
That's right.
Ethan says, my old lady, who I love very much and respect her opinion.
She's
we're processing.
So she listens. Okay.
Tells me I wear way too much camo, and I need to try to expand my style. I'm not really into that idea. She says I'm attractive in camo either way, but would prefer I try something else. What should I do? I want the camo to stay.
Well, you can keep the camo, but hey. Go ahead and get let the woman dress you up a little bit, son.
There's lots of
you might be shocked at how good you actually look in something besides camo.
Si likes a tux.
A camo. Right. And he also likes a Porter Wagner jacket.
With sequins.
Hey, there he goes, boys. Hey, sparkly.
Sparkly. Okay.
I like to join up, boys.
Ethan, though, they make all kinds of clothes now in like black, brown, gray. I mean, you can pretty well look at my wardrobe. I know I'm wearing camo today.
I laughed when I saw
it. I was just come off hunting.
But, and it was clean and convenient. That's so, right. Therefore, but there's a lot of earth tones available these days where you still feel like you wear camo, but you're not.
Hey, look.
So. I even wear dingy orange.
Dress up for your woman, son.
And if you're a little on the plus size like myself, you wear black and turn it a 45, you look like you lost 27 pounds.
So, there it is.
Pro tip. There you go.
So you can wear other clothes besides camo.
You can.
We do it.
You don't have to.
Phil doesn't. He wears camo pants and a white t-shirt.
Well, he wears a white t-shirt.
A white is a very generous term on the color of that t-shirt.
It was white when it was
That's being kind. That's being kind. Okay, most of them are not white.
Yeah.
All right, well, we handled that question pretty quickly.
There you go.
I thought we might. I didn't know if one of y'all was going to be like, hey, you wear that camo. So.
Well, hey,
I don't.
Yeah, I always wear camo.
I mean, Realtree's got like 7 different camos now, so knock yourself out, Ethan. Tell her, you go with a fishing camo. It's technically not camo.
I like the old school camo.
Yeah,
that's what I wear.
Go backwards.
All right.
What you got?
Hey, this one piggybacks on what Si was saying earlier, because you might be in a tough time, but let me tell you something that it says in Hebrews 12:28-29. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken... You might feel shaken right now. A lot of people have been shaken here in these past few months, including me. But we will be receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let us be thankful. And so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire.
There you go.
That's a good one.
I like that
one. All right. Well, we'll see y'all next time right here in the Duck Call Room. We're out.
We go.